First reading today is from 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. It is also in your bulletin. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim, so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of the Lord was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again, a third time. And he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you have called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening."
A reading from the Journal of Thomas Merton, March 19th, 1947. Yesterday in Louisville, at the corner of 4th and Walnut, suddenly I realized that I loved all the people, and none of them were or could be totally alien to me. As if waking from a dream of my separateness. Thank God. Thank God. I am only another member of the human race like the rest of them. I have the immense joy of being man, a member of a race in which God Himself became incarnate. As if the sorrows and stupidities of the human condition could overwhelm me, now that I realize what we all are. And if only everybody could realize this. But it cannot be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around, shining like the sun.
So today I invite you to stop for a moment and look at offertory in a new way. Pretend you have never seen these offertory baskets before. See them and the cups with new eyes and an open heart. Maybe you'll be moved to give in a different way. Maybe you'll be motivated in the coming week to give of yourself or of your time or of your belongings in a new way. If you feel the pull of the Spirit, pay attention to that. Write it down if you have to, if you need to. And listen and act. So boys, let's get the baskets and cups, and if you would just pass them up and down the aisles. We will sit during offertory in silence, And when offertory is completed, we will sing Where Charity and Love Prevails, the words of which are on the second page in the bulletin. Thank you, guys. Where charity and love prevail, there God is ever found. Brought here together by Christ's love, by love are we thus bound. With grateful joy and holy fear, God's charity we learn. Let us with heart and mind and soul now love God in return. Forgive we now each other's faults, as we our faults confess. And let us love each other well in Christian holiness. Let strife among us be unknown. Let all contention cease. Be God's the glory that we seek. Be ours God's holy peace. Let us recall that in our midst dwells God's begotten Son. As members of his body joined, we are in him made one. No race or creed may love exclude, if honored be God's name. Our fellowship embraces all, whose maker is the same.
A reading from the 10th chapter of Acts. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners. In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again, a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up to heaven.
The Cistercian monk Thomas Keating once wrote, "Silence is God's first language. Everything else is a poor translation." But poor translation as it will be, I want to say some things about that video we watched with the kids. How many of you have seen that before? Yeah. Yeah. So, like it or not, there seems to be limits to what our brains can process and track and retain. Yeah, yeah. The video presents, I think, a challenge to me, and I hope to you. What is it that we're paying attention to? Are we paying attention to what's truly important in our day-to-day lives? And what are we missing? If we accept that our attention is finite, then we need to ask, what is it that I want to focus my limited attention on? And to continue down that line of thought, who or what do I want to have at the center of my life? Because if you're not paying attention, what you value won't be at the center. Go to most restaurants today and look around. It used to be normal to see families sitting at the table conversing with each other. Now, just as often, what? Yeah. You see families sitting at the table looking at their devices. Most restaurants now have multiple televisions angled every which way so that you can see them from anywhere. Speedway now has television screens on their gas pumps because, heaven forbid, people should be away from a TV for more than a minute. We have instant messaging, text messaging, Facebook Messenger messaging, all dinging and buzzing and demanding our immediate. We have internet ads mysteriously tailored to our personal interests and buying history. Internet news feeds that update 24/7. Our society today is building a technological Tower of Babel. All this stuff tugging at your attentional shirt sleeve. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me right now. And that's just the external stuff. Then we have the pressures and anxieties and distractions of our own busy lives, the to-dos and the complexities and the details and the worries and the nagging minutiae of our busy lives that sometimes seem to swirl around our heads and our hearts like a swarm of bees. So, like time, you had better claim your attention, or someone or something will claim it for you. I mean that with all my heart. Claim your attention, or someone or something will claim it for you. That's what I want to talk about today. Do you find it hard to be present while you're helping your child get dressed? Do you find it hard to be present while you're sitting having a meal with someone you love? Does all the distraction interfere with your ability to experience beauty and joy on a day-to-day basis in your everyday life? What's all this distraction doing to your spiritual life? One of my favorite authors is this guy named Matthew Crawford. He is a philosopher, but he's also a motorcycle mechanic. And his latest book is called The World Beyond Your Head, on becoming an individual in an age of distraction. And in it, Crawford says, when we as a society are bombarded with all this distracting stimulation, and when we fall prey to it and we're sucked into its vortex and just seem to want more and more and more, faster and faster, our distractibility suggests that we are agnostic on the question of what is worth paying attention to. That is, we lose touch with what we value. Are we as Mennonite Christians agnostic to what we value? I know the answer for all of you is no. But in practice, how are you doing with your attention? Is it well directed? I don't mean this as a judgment, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm in this problem every bit as much as you all are. What do we do about it? Use the superpower that God has given us as humans, the power of rational choice. Awareness in today's environment, more than ever, is a matter of intentionality. And by that I mean choice reinforced by practice. Look again at the words of Thich Nhat Hanh from the Call to Worship on, where is that? Yeah, second page. He says that the miracle that he's talking about, to appreciate the peace and beauty that are available now, that miracle is a matter of practice. Now, Han is a Buddhist monk, so he doesn't conceptualize God in the same way that we do. But if you add the words of Christ or of God after Han's references to peace and beauty, I think his words pretty well summarize the contemplative Christian contemplative experience of life in Christ. The peace of Christ is all around us, in the world and in nature and within us, in our bodies and our spirits. Once we learn to touch this peace, we will be transformed. To put it in a similar way, the theologian Marcus Borg once wrote, "Loving God means being intentionally present to the one in whom we live." Being intentionally present. Being present as a matter of choice reinforced by practice. But how do we practice? There are really as many ways as there are seekers of God. There are many, many examples today of people who are using their superpowers of choice to restructure their lives around the goal of being intentionally present, keeping what they value in the center of their attention. So many of you were in Sunday school today and you saw the video of a day in the life of the Abbey of Gethsemane in Kentucky. But you don't have to, you know, you don't have to pray seven times a day to be intentionally present. Another example would be Plum Village. That's Thich Nhat Hanh's Buddhist monastery in southern France. And there, every 15 minutes, a bell rings. And everyone stops, drops whatever they're doing, registering retreatants or working in the kitchen. And there's silence, and everybody simply breathes, smiles, and comes back to themselves. They come back to themselves and whatever is present in that moment. And that goes on for like 15 seconds. And then everything starts up again. It's just a regular reminder to stop and bring one's attention back to what's important. I keep coming back to the Buddhists because for them, paying attention is the name of the game. It's what it's all about. And so I think we can learn from them. But you don't have to be a Buddhist or a monk or a nun to engage in this kind of spiritual practice. You know, the point is just to develop some habit or routine that you can come back to regularly, something that settles your soul and brings you back from distraction to attention. My grandfather, George Walker Jr., was not a church-going man in his later years. But every morning, he would get up and make his cup of coffee and walk out to the back of his property in the mountains of rural West Virginia, and he would stand at a particular post in the fence that looked down the hill onto the pond. And he'd watch the morning come. He called that place his prayer post. Thich Nhat Hanh writes about practicing mindfulness while watching or washing dishes. Or you might put a 3x5 index card that says gratitude on your dining table or in your bedroom as a reminder to stop and be thankful. Or you might befriend a particularly beautiful tree. And every time you see it, just get in the habit of saying, "How beautiful," and stopping and paying attention for a moment. You know, when it comes to spiritual practice, simple is good. The point's just to claim your attention and direct it toward what's important and life-giving. That assumes that we are clear on what's important and life-giving. As Matthew Crawford pointed out, in the current environment, it's really easy to lose track of that. And when that happens, we're in real trouble. So, let me suggest that from time to time, you take some solo time out and check in with yourself. Think about your priorities. Are they the right ones? Are they out of balance? Are you focused on them? Find some environment where your mind and your heart feel spacious and open, and you can reflect and receive insight. I find that it helps to do this when I'm away from my home or my office where I've got all those to-dos jangling, right? Travel's good, a coffee shop's good. I know for you parents, that's not easy. It's not easy to get away, but you, of all of us, I think maybe need it most. You know, that kind of checking is so important if we are to be effective in staying focused on what's essential. And when you do get that precious hour by yourself to check in, make sure that at least some of that time is not controlled by an agenda. Just sit and observe and see what thoughts come to you. I have two other suggestions that I really just don't have the time to talk much about, but in my experience, they're super important. They're like, what's the term? Life hacks, right? Helpful hints for modern life. The first is this. These are both about distraction and focus. The first is consider your relationship with the internet and with electronic communications, texting, social media, email. What claims are they making on your attention? How frequently do notifications interrupt you from what you would prefer to have at the center of your life? Take some time to really think about that honestly. As some of you know, Debbie and I have intentionally chosen not to use texting in most situations. To use texts seems to us to demand immediate attention, mostly without need. So we've decided that most texting just isn't conducive to the kind of focus and centeredness that we would like to achieve. My second suggestion is this. If you feel like you are constantly carrying a to-do list around in your head, move that swarm of bees somewhere else. Find a hive for it. So it's not swirling around in your head and distracting you and draining your ability to focus. Come up with some trusted system where you can park this stuff and come back to it when you need it. On paper, on a computer, whatever. I know not all of you are list people, but you might still consider this if you are constantly distracted with the details in life. These two suggestions seem really mundane and non-spiritual, but to the extent they affect how we focus our attention on what's important, I think they have everything to do with our spiritual lives. I think these topics would be worthy of further discussion here at Jubilee. And I would love to talk more about this, either as a community or individually. We have a variety of spiritual gifts and temperaments in this group, gifts of organizational leadership and nurturing and healing and speaking and discernment and music and hospitality. And this variety is a gift, and it is as it should be. But I think we can all benefit from practices that reduce distraction and bring us back to what it is that we're here for. Bring us back to the God in whom we live. You know, both Samuel and Peter in those readings today, both Samuel and Peter were both called to serve God in very active, out there in the world ways. But as the readings today remind us, they both received really important messages from God when they stopped and were still and paid attention. Paul was another matter. God had to knock him down and blind him in order to get him to pay attention. Let me close by reminding you of Moses' farewell address in Deuteronomy 30. It's not one of our readings today. I kind of wish it was, because it's really relevant. So Moses is an old man. And he knows that the Israelites are about to pass into the promised land after 40 years of walking in the wilderness. And he's not going with them. So he says to them, look, I have given you a choice between life and prosperity, death and adversity. Choose life so that you and your descendants may live loving the Lord God, obeying him, holding fast to him, for that means life to you. Mindlessness and lack of focus, attentional agnosticism, chronic distraction, if these aren't forms of spiritual death, they are at least forms of spiritual hibernation or stagnation. Choose life. Use your superpower. Choose to pay attention intentionally as a matter of practice. May it be so. I will welcome any sharing on the topic, and then we will move into our congregational sharing and prayer. Boys, would you pass microphones for us, please?